Welcome to the Human Rights 2020s podcast, brought to you by the Human Rights Consortium Scotland. This episode is a recording of an event called Listen to Our Voices, the Human Rights Bill Lived Experience Boards, held on the 21st of March 2023. The speakers, Vary Snowden, Jackie Dunbar, Charlie McMillan and Joe McKeown, discussed the role of lived experience boards in the creation of Scotland's new Human Rights Bill.
Hi, so welcome everybody. I'm Vary Snowden, Director of the Human Rights Consortium Scotland, and welcome to this quick whistle-stop tour and chat about the Human Rights Bill Lived Experience Board. So welcome. And yeah, so it is a pleasure to welcome you all here today. What we are talking about is actually something that came out of the National Task Force on Human Rights report 2 years ago this month. And one of the recommendations of that report was about how the government should write the bill and the guidance and how it's implemented. And what it said was that they should take an innovative and participatory approach. To basically developing the bill. So one part of that, and it is only one part of that, is that they set up three what are called lived experience boards. So one of those boards, it was facilitated by the Scottish Commission for People with Learning Disabilities. One of those boards was facilitated by Together, which is the Scottish Alliance for Children's Rights. And one of those boards was facilitated by us at the Human Rights Consortium Scotland. So what we thought would be helpful to do is, first of all, kick off with a little bit of finding out about how those boards were set up, how they worked, generally who was on them, some of the key points and messages of advice that they gave the government, and hear from Joe from the Bill team about how they're going to take that advice on board in writing the bill. So without any further ado, I'm going to come to, first of all, Charlie McMillan, who is from Scottish Commission for Learning Disabilities. Can I ask you first, Charlie, tell us about the board. How did you set it up? How did it work?
Hi, Vary, and thanks very much. We got into discussions basically with the Scottish Government, and a huge thank you in all of the discussion about our lived experience board goes to Joe, who's here today as well, because it was Joe's hard work that put all the plans together, and it's massively important because it's having a huge impact. But we knew that people with learning disabilities have communication support needs, and we really wanted to ensure that everything that we were saying about human rights, which can get really technical and jargonistic and confusing, that really had to be explained on a step-by-step basis. It also had to be really engaging and fun, because we actually believe human rights is good news. Human rights is something to be celebrated. And it was very much building on all of that. We thought we could do a really meaningful piece of work here by recruiting human rights defenders who have learning disabilities.
Brilliant. And how did it work, like, in terms of, like, what did it actually look like? Was it online or that sort of?
Yeah. Well, it was both. We worked online, but everything that we're doing in SCLD now is completely hybrid. So it might be online, it might be face-to-face. The biggest workshop that we ran, though, over the course of the year was in September in Edinburgh, and it was on a face-to-face basis. It was actually an overnight. And Una will not mind me saying, at times it felt like organised chaos because the engagement was so powerful and strong. But out of it, we managed to generate two really impactful reports, which were written by the people themselves. So it was all co-produced and co-created work. It was really creative, and it produced a deepening understanding of what human rights means for people with learning disabilities in Scotland in 2022, 2023 and beyond.
I think that's a good point to bring in, Jackie, because I know that the Lived Experience Board with Children and Young People was highly creative, actually.
Thanks very much. And a wee bit like Charlie, just it's lovely to see everybody. And thank you so much for inviting us along today. Yeah, we're absolutely alongside Charlie there in terms of together, who are facilitating the Children and Young People's Board. We actually come up with an idea that we would, instead of calling it a lived experience board, we would call the project the Rights Detectives, because we wanted it to be a project that was about speaking to other children and young people and doing some investigative research. So the idea was that we would engage a small group of children and young people who would become detectives to go out and speak to other children and young people across Scotland, which I'll tell you a little bit more about as we go. But certainly I have actually brought some of the creative things that we had. So all of the detectives were provided with detectives packs before they got started. One of our detectives felt that it was really important that we had spy glasses. Now, these are glasses that you put on and you can actually see what's happening behind you. We had other really cool things like UV lights so that children and young people could write secret messages. We had all sorts of photographic props, and Joe will tell you that he was frequently featured with our props. So we, again, very much like Charlie's saying, recognising the importance of human rights, but making sure that it's accessible to everybody that we were working with. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to telling you a little bit more about that as we go.
That's brilliant. I was just thinking, you know, what is called Rights Detectives with Children and Young People, which is, it sounds so cool. I think in the sort of more grown up kind of serious world, we might call research sometimes, but actually it's so much better as Rights Detectives. And that is fab. In terms of the Lived Experience Board that we facilitated, I fear that it was maybe not as creative and we had no sunglasses like the children's one. But we mostly met online because members said actually that was quite handy. Interestingly, we asked people at the beginning if anyone would like to meet in the evenings or the weekends, but actually the people that took part preferred a Monday morning slot. And we had one in-person meeting in the autumn, where we had meetings in Glasgow and in Aberdeen, but some people still prefer to be online. Can I ask, then, Charlie, what about how did people end up being on the board? Like, how did you decide who to invite to take part?
Well, we put a call out to all the people in our networks, basically asking if anyone was interested. And I have to say, we were overwhelmed with the interest. So we actually ended up with 25. And we used the terminology a human rights defender, Jackie, very similar to human rights detective as well. But we really want to see individuals developing their roles as human rights defenders. I think it's such an important role and really not understood in Scotland. So we were really focused on that role. And as I say, we were overwhelmed with people who were interested. So 25 people joined us in the journey. Some folk made all the meetings, some only a few. But really working together. We were really lucky as well. I think one of the other points I'd say is this kind of work takes investment. It takes investment of time, and it also takes investment of resources. So thank you again, because the Scottish Government did invest in it. And that then we were able to bring on a part-time member of staff, Sarah, who led this whole piece of work for us, because it became a part-time job, but it certainly became a substantial piece of work to lead.
And so that's really important to note. And it is interesting you say about human rights defenders, because sometimes I think lived experience as a term in human rights is quite tricky, because we all have lived experience of human rights. When we were talking about looking for people to be nominated to take part in the board that we facilitated, we talked about people with experience of either living with infringements of their human rights or trying to get change on them, and on rights, so campaigning or advocating for rights. Actually, that's not far from that human rights defenders idea as well. Jackie, how did children and young people come to be involved as rights detectives?
Thank you, Mary. So together as a membership organisation with 500 plus members, so there are thousands of human rights and children's rights defenders, I would say, all over Scotland. And we, very similar to Charlie's approach, is that we put out a call to members, but this was actually for a project that was before the Rights Detectives. So we put a call out for children and young people to be involved in a project called Rights Right Now, which was working with the children's rights team at Scottish Government around about incorporation of the UNCRC. And this was a natural follow-on. This project was a natural follow-on to do some work around about the new Human Rights Bill. So we held some information sessions. And again, just in terms of that question, the detectives that are working with us are from all over Scotland. So we've got young people in the Highlands, we've got young people in Edinburgh, Glasgow, so they're dotted round about. So we had a mix of online and in-person meetings. But the young people attended some online information sessions. We shared all the information about what the Scottish Government were looking to do. And again, we framed it all round about an investigation and a kind of detectives project, so that the detectives would take part in missions. They would be set missions by 007 being Scottish Government, and they had mission one and mission two. And the children and young people would go out to do these investigations and come back and report to, what is it, Q or M is it that they reported to? But we were reporting to SG. So young people were invited to take part, and six young people decided that they'd like to take part. And we wanted to keep it a small group, Mary. And the reason for that was that we knew that we were going to look to speak to a much wider group of children and young people, but we wanted the core group to be quite small so that they could get enough support from the team and also give support to each other too. So that's how they got involved, came to information sessions and really came forward and volunteered to take part. And obviously working very closely with Joe and Lucy at the Build team as well. So, yeah.
Brilliant. I just think I love the idea of Joe as 007. So that's all good. Charlie, sorry.
No, I just wanted to build on the point as well about making sure that lived experience is always an inverted commas, if you like, because I agree with you. It's not a term that I would use. And we talk about people when everybody, whoever they might be, has lived experience. So I think we've got to be very careful about that. And it's about people sharing their views and understanding of the world, and that's the really, really important thing. I love your idea 007 as well. We were delighted. Christina McKelvey came along to our board, which was fantastic. And also the Scottish Government team were part of this work, and I think that's really, really important, because you can get a report landing on your desk or in your computer, but if you've actually lived the development of the report, you understand, I think, much more why it's so, so important.
Absolutely. I think as well, we will send out afterwards a short summary of some questions we asked people on the board we facilitated about their experience. So what are the kinds of experience you come with? You know, so some of them have experienced of discrimination as a disabled person or as a carer, or of racism, or being in the immigration system. But actually, we emphasise all the way through that you are not here to represent everyone of a certain group. You're not here to represent the organisation that nominated you. You're not here to actually requiring to talk about your own story again and again. That's not it, but you are here to give advice on how this bill can work in practice for you and your family, your community, the people you know, quite deliberate. Jackie?
I think I'm probably going to say something very, very similar, but I do think it's really, really important that when we are, I completely agree that everybody has lived experience because we're all human and we all live in a world where things are not perfect. So, however, that's not to undermine the fact that actually we all bring such unique experiences to a space together. One of the things that we were very, very cautious of, Mari, is being very clear with children and young people that this was not about them sharing their personal lived experiences. There was something about ensuring that we created a safe space for everybody, a space which was based on respect, which was based on an ability to hear each other, but not to necessarily go into huge details. As you say, we were very much coming to that space as experts in our own rights of just being human and being in a space together and really feeling that need to just get together. So Joe and Lucy from the Scottish Government and the detectives and the director from Together, we were all in a space together, which was about sharing our experiences, but also being very, very aware of the power imbalance, particularly with children and young people, when there's adults in a space where often we can talk too much, we can take over. So we worked hard to break down some of those barriers to make sure that, in fact, and even at that, children and young people still come back to us and would say, but we're still hearing too much voice of the adults in the space. So we were listening every meeting, we were reflecting on what people were saying, and we were doing our best to make sure that we created that safe space that children and young people felt that they could really own the direction of the project, actually.
I love that emphasis on listening, actually. It's all about listening. I know that each board has given really valuable advice to the Scottish Government, and Joe's going to tell us in a moment about how they're going to listen to that. But I wonder if you could share a couple of headlines, two or three headlines of some of that advice that the boards have given. I don't know, Jackie, do you want to come in first?
Yep.
Certainly, thanks, Mary. So in terms of where we are just now, our project's still going at this moment in time. So we're running until roughly the middle of May. So we're not finished our investigations yet. To date, the children and young people, the rights detectives, have spoken to 113 children and young people across Scotland. So quite a lot of children and young people aged between 9 to 17. And the key sort of a recurring themes that have come out so far from the research that the children and young people have been doing is very much thinking around about those children and young people whose rights might be most at risk. There's also lots of conversation around about access to justice, and not only access to justice in the very formal sense, but actually about justice within those spaces that we frequent every day. I go to Tesco at lunchtime and I have to stand in a queue and I have to put my school bag at the door when I walk into the supermarket to buy my lunch. So some of those real day-to-day experiences that happen for children and young people, and where is the justice in those spaces for them? We also heard quite a bit around about children's voice and children again being at the centre of decision making and making sure that they had access to good information. The three top priorities that children and young people at this point wanted to share were making sure that everybody in Scotland, so babies, toddlers, children, young people, adults, that they know about the new Human Rights Bill and what it means for both them as individuals and also what it means for Scotland as a whole and society. Another recommendation that they had, which I think is brilliant, is that they want Scottish Government to think about having as many different ways for them to respond to calls for information, consultations. So things like they want to have a messaging service, they want to have a platform that they can communicate with Scottish Government. They want Scottish Government to accept pictures and photographs and other ways, providing interactive games for children and young people so that they can share their views with government in a way that's comfortable to them. And the last thing that children and young people were really keen to get across to us, well, there was many things, but you can see them in the report, but the last one that I'll share today was, please stop asking the same children and young people the same questions, different people from different organisations, or sometimes even the same organisation, asking us the same thing. Take action on the things that you hear from children and young people and stop having that cycle and loop. So that's some of the key things that came out from our first stage, but we're still in the midst of our next bit.
Brilliant. It's amazing how what you heard from children really reflects a lot of what we heard on the board as well. Charlie, what would be some of the headline messages?
Very similarly, I was going to say I can only build on what the children and young people were sharing, because it was very similar. And I think that's an interesting point to note. When people are not able to access their human rights, the experience can be really, really similar across the piece, and it doesn't matter who we might be speaking about or to. David Budd asked about Easy Read. We used a lot of games and exercises, Dave, as well, to try and make rights real, because this whole piece of work was about making rights real. And in terms of recommendations, there's one for us about having done this work, having built this awareness with a group of people, you can't then stop. This work is about, jargon warning here, but the progressive realisation of human rights. We can't countenance any rollback on human rights in Scotland. And we're really committed to working with the Scottish Government to incorporate the UNCRPD into Scots law. That is essential for people with learning disabilities. That's the fundamental building block that they see to achieve their outcomes. And their outcomes are actually the goals that we've all got. I think there was access to justice is another one well worth mentioning, especially after last week when we had our gender-based violence conference for women and girls with learning disabilities. Access to justice is denied people on a day and daily basis across Scotland, and we really need to address that. But it, in many ways, it is about that rights most at risk as well. Whose rights are being denied on the most crucial aspects of life? And how do we ensure that people understand that it's not theirs to give people their human rights? They have their human rights because they exist. It's ours to ensure that they're able to live a full, safe, happy and loving life. And that's what this report was all about for us in this piece of work.
Brilliant. Jackie?
Thanks again, Barry. And again, just building on what Charlie had responded there to David's question. David, for the children and young people, we produced a whole host of child-friendly materials. We also, within our full report, there are all the different session plans and a lot of the different activities that we actually used. And we also created a child-friendly version of the report and all of the findings. So again, it was very much focused on activity-based, always having visuals and having written copies of all of the meetings, etc., in child-friendly language. And as I say, you'll be able to access some examples of that within the report. So thanks. That's a great question. And thanks for asking that, David.
Thanks, Jackie. So just to give you a couple of the headline messages of many that the board said to us. And so just to say on access to justice, funnily enough, we had a whole block on that. And a couple of the things that people said is it is just so difficult and exhausting and a huge emotional toll to access justice. And sometimes that's justice on big things that could end up in court. But actually, more often, like Jackie, you were saying, it's the everyday apparently smaller things, but they add up to a lot. And the toll on individuals of trying to get something done about rights infringements is huge. And they also said that there needs to be more accountability. So this bill needs to include ways that to hold government to account. And that includes both in the ways to go to court, but actually much beyond that, it's got to be about the reports government produce on this. It's got to be about the conversations between a public authority and an individual that they must be able to hold government to account. And actually combined with that is just that message all the time from the board about how many people are missing out on the basic rights at the moment. So things like the right to food and the right to health and the right to housing. So there is a huge need for this bill, but also combined with a sort of healthy dose of scepticism, I think, because people said clearly, you know, we have seen laws before, we've seen policies, we've seen a lot of chats and promises, but actually we haven't seen a lot of change. And so one of the big themes was that this bill has got to lead to change for people, and that it should be the success of this bill should be measured by how much change it actually delivers. So I think there's a lot of common themes. Okay, I'm going to come straight to Jo McKeown, who is from the Scottish Government Bill Team. What will the Scottish Government do with the advice from these three lived experience boards?
Thanks, Barry. So I think, first of all, my colleagues in the Bill Team are using the information in the reports to develop the policy positions that you're all going to see in the Human Rights Bill consultation. And that's going to be published in the first half of this year. So the great benefit of these reports is that having this in front of us as a source of evidence, as was commented earlier, is actually really helping us bridge the gap between the often overly technical and legalistic considerations of drafting legislation and then the actual practical and positive effects we want this bill to have when it's in place. And, you know, that's certainly been something that's come through in the work we're doing so far. Christine McKelvey, our minister, is really supportive of the board's work and has been looking to see that it's visible across everything that we're doing. But we also not only have the board reports themselves, but also the experiences, because we, as others have said, we've been very close to the work. So across the team, you know, we've been in the rooms and it's been really important for us to be actually hearing the sort of strength of feeling coming through from the members as they talk about these subjects. I actually asked some of my colleagues for some of their reflections on some of the meetings that they've been in. And I'd very, very quickly like to just quickly share a couple of things. Trevor, our team leader, who was along at the SCLD event, mentioned that the meeting at the hotel was a joy. He said it was well delivered, informative, creative, and very enjoyable to connect and spend time with the members, and that hopefully we can do justice to the work going forward. And Lucy, a policy officer on our team, was along at the Rights Detectives meeting at the Commissioner's office, and she said it was so enjoyable. The group were so clued up on a variety of human rights issues, and that she learned a lot from them. So there is a, you know, this is a source of evidence for us that we're finding very welcome to help us cut through the kind of high level concepts and legal complexities and get to what really matters. And as Barry, as you've said, the bill should not sit on the shelf, and the board's work is helping us avoid that outcome. So we want to make their advice really visible across the rest of the bill's journey, and that's starting with the consultation itself. We're also mindful as well that several of the reports have recommendations or asks of the Scottish Government, and once the consultation is published, we'll be following that up with those boards directly. And then, you know, lastly as well, the bill itself has a long way to go, and we're still going to need input from people with lived experience of facing barriers accessing their rights. So the board's advice through the reports is shaping our own thinking about what comes next, and we're really looking forward to whatever the next form of work shape of that. And just to say as well, like, people have said thank you to me in this call, but the thanks is all to it's really all to you all. It's all to everybody at the consortium and SCLD and together who's organized things, to all the organizations that have put forward people, and most of all to the members themselves. It's been an absolute pleasure to do this work with everyone. Thanks.
I think that might be the first time I've heard someone from the Scottish Government say things like joy and enjoyable developing legislation and policy, which is brilliant. So thanks, Joe, for that. That's really helpful. And I know members of the board will find it really encouraging to hear those messages as well.
Thank you for listening to the Human Rights 2020s podcast. For more information about our work as Scotland's civil society network for the protection and promotion of human rights, please visit our website at www.hrcscotland.org or follow us on Twitter at @hrcscotland. Thank you.